Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep it.
Hands up, eyes open, the fifth clip. Face and we get some of this good shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Not trying to party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I never will go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure and two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us, close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains. Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level hoe. Or go get a shovel hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now? I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in a business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfected, pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all won't listen. I will never put profit over politics, press with nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, that wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. For we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This ain't gonna never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swore to God I'd stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the same, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Rage.
the griddle in the middle like Moni. You're phony cause your style's baloney, but that rock's no filler. Ain't a girl in Sierra putting rappers on ice and lock the bodies in the chiller. The way you bust it up, I'll chuck nasty sound like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I draw you deep beneath the surface. It's the rays from Page, I heat it up like a furnace. My steel got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, an alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to get in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style sharp as cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be diesel. So I break a breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll on with that chicken shit that's plucking. You're stuck in, stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard, I'm knocking out your toothin'. A teacher, believe this shit, butthead just get played out like Beavis.
The larger issues that we've been talking about now for the last week, the last month, the last year, and sadly, for decades.
Wake up, get a hold of your life. Go get your cake up. The motto in the streets is you eat or you get ate up. Straight up. You're tired of waiting, go get your weight up. My people's tired of waiting for reparations to pay up. Screaming Jesus can save us. I get the Bentley if I save her. But that's just another trick to enslave us. Push the minimum wages. Put our fathers up in them cages. Then watch how our mothers struggle to raise us. But my ambition won't let me live in this poor condition. That doesn't care about color, creed, or your religion. Free politicians gotta listen to opposition. From my position, we still ain't got a pot to piss in. From my position, we still ain't got a pot to piss in.
Allah said save the babies from the cold. Pour wisdom in their cups to the truth overflow. Still knowledge is that bread that keeps us well fed. Oh, time religion will not bring us satisfaction without action. Now who can disagree with me? God is not a mystery. There's nowhere in history that you can show him who to me. But still you face each and knock your head to me religiously. I'm G.O.D. to infinity. For real.
The world won't get no better.
Right now, unfortunately, we are seeing too many instances where people just do not have confidence that hope are being treated well.
The Bush administration, unequality, martial law, and segregation, falsehood, false teaching, false education. Now it's time for us to come amongst this nation. They deceiving us, they don't believe in us. They believe in that cream like Julius Caesar. I'm like Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X with the heater. Ripping the chains of the remains of all of the leaders. Never worship an image of evil swine eaters. I'm on the back of the bus with two fine demons. We in the jungle of life, but never jungle fever. I'm God body all day long, spiritual life lessons that I recite in the song. Trying to wake up everybody, can we all get along? For my people that's out there persevering through the storm. Black fish, that now I stand up, stand strong. Penetrate through the gate and bring the clan along.
Than ever. Thought we was chilling, striving, change for the better. But it was a dream like Martin Luther. He had a vision that could move mountains. Protect one another, that's words of my brother Malcolm. As-salamu alaykum, wa alaykum as-salam. We want justice, police supposed to protect and serve. And then they shoot us down like wild animals. The nerve of them cold-hearted killers with blue suits playing our black youth. The earth cries from all the blood that's being spilled. We need a solution fast, here shall all build. Let me educate them, translate it, meaning God's will. It goes all in together, together how we are. To stand with a plan, divided we down to fall. And that's the Willie Lynch tactics that separated the mass and taught us all the things backwards.
This is incumbent upon all of us as Americans, regardless of race, region, faith, that we recognize this is an American problem and not just a black problem or a brown problem or a Native American problem. This is an American problem. When anybody in this country is not being treated equally under the law, that's a problem.
My memories of a cult, mind full of sick thoughts, and I ain't going back. life.
Driving insane, stuck inside a ghetto fantasy. Hoping it changed, but when I focus on reality, there's so much past in my local life. Vibing strange, and a man without a focus life. Driving insane, stuck inside a ghetto fantasy. Hoping it changed, but when I focus on reality, so much pain.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown, and I'm still going through it.
What?
Pain and the hurt,
yeah.
Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt,
yeah.
And I know only I can stop the rain with just the mention of my Savior's name.
There's so much pain. Past in my local life, vibe is strange, and a man without a focus life. Driving insane, stuck inside a ghetto fantasy. Hoping it changed, but when I focus on reality, there's so much pain. Past in my local life, vibe is strange, and a man without a focus life. Driving insane, stuck inside a ghetto fantasy. Hoping it changed, but when I focus on reality,
they got me moving like pain. Loped and ready to get my slug on. I load my clip and slip my motherfucking gloves on. I ain't scared to blast on these fuckers. I got my Glock cop player if they press me. Bust some motherfuckers with a pass. And better talk cause I ain't looking when I'm blasting. I'm a nut and drinking in the sea and getting high on the lookout for my enemies. Don't wanna die, tell me why, cause the stress getting made up. A buck 50 across the face with my razor. What can I do but be a thug until I'm dead and gone? I keep my brain on the game and stay headstrong. These sorry bastards wanna kill me in my sleep. I'm really cannot see, and every day it's just a struggle. Steady thugging on the street. Ballin' low, don't let them make you worry. Keep slinging at these suckers till you worried. I was born a raid. Hell, I'm thinking from the gutter. Word to mother, I'm tech. I'm kicking dust up, ready to bust out on the scene. Steady mocking me. Until they kill me, I'll be living this life. I know you feel me. There's so much pain.
Past in my local life, vibe is strange. And a man without a focus life. Driving insane, stuck inside a ghetto fantasy. Hoping it changed, but when I focus on reality,
there's so much pain.
Past in my local life. Vibe is strange, and a man without a focus life. Driving insane,
there's so much of pain.
Not a ghetto fantasy, hoping it changed, but when I focus on reality.
There's so much pain. There's so much pain. There's so much pain. So much pain.
Let us pray. I thank you, Lord, for my birth and everything that's followed. I thank you, Lord, for today, and I will pray for tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, for the love of my life and a friend. I made a promise, and I'm loving my wife to the end. I thank you, Lord, for your guidance, because it's all that counts. And right here, right now, Lord, this is your house. I thank you, Lord, for a dream that came true to light. And I ask you to bless everybody in this room tonight. I don't always do the right thing, and I ask you to forgive me, because I need you here with me. Without you in my life, it's empty. I think back how some people did me like violence was the remedy. And because I think of that now, I pray for my enemy. Not because of what I'll do, but because they don't know. There's something better after here, but everybody won't go. So I ask you to forgive them, and we'll hope they see. And I thank you for the love that they've given to me. I will not abuse it, nor will I lead them astray. You see, I love them like children that I see every day. And I pray, no, we pray together. Get us through the bad weather, and we love you forever. Let your thought and my heart go hand in hand. I first thought but to start, but I stand a man. And for as long as I can, as long as you permit me, please give me the strength I need to live. Bear with me. Amen.
We each walk the path that you've chosen. A
I'm ready to meet her. Where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white, white hate black. It's right back to the same fight. They got us suspecting the war, but the real war to follow the law of the Lord. Lord, you left me stranded, and I don't know why. Told me to live my life, now I'm ready to die. Ready to fly, I cry, but I shed no tears. You told me you were dead, those fears. It's been years, snakes still coming at me. Just missing. Sometimes I think all you do with me is just listen. I thought that I was special, that's what you told me. Homie, stop acting like you don't know me. What I do so bad that it sent you away from me. Not only sent you away, but made you stay away from me.
My child, I'm here as I've always been. It is you who went away and now are back again. What did I say?
Follow your word and be true.
What did you do?
Well, what I wanted to do.
What have you seen?
Darkness and hell in the glance.
What do you want?
All I want is another chance.
To meet them, where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white, white hate black. It's right back to the same fight. They got us suspecting the war, but the real war follows the law of the Lord. I'm ready to meet them, where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white, white hate black. It's right back to the same fight. They got us suspecting the war, but the real war to follow the law of the Lord. Just because you went away, my doors are not locked. Wanna come back home? All you gotta do is knock.
You see, I left home a boy, but returned as a man. Full grown, and I'm still not able to stand.
I gave you a hand.
Well, but I was looking the wrong way. Figured out the plan, then I started to pray. And that prayer took me from here, over there, back to over here. Now it got me like, where
do I belong? Do I fit in? Things on my mind, where do I begin?
It's easier to sin, but it hurts my heart. I'm really trying to win, so where do we start?
Thou shalt not steal.
But what if he stole from me?
Thou shalt not kill.
But what if he's trying to kill me?
Thou shalt not take my name in vain. No matter how hard it rains, withstand the pain. Ready to meet him, where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white, white hate black. It's right back to the same fight. They got us suspecting the war, but the real war's to follow the law of the Lord. I'm ready to meet him, where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white, white hate black. It's right back to the same fight. Heaven. I'm not ashamed to ask for guidance at 27. No longer afraid to knock on your door. Not scared anymore to lose my life in the war. After what I just saw, I'm riding with the Lord. Cause I really can't afford to lose my head by the sword. So now that I've seen what I need to see, please take me where I need to be. What have you learned?
It's better to tell the truth than a lie.
What have you learned?
To love my life until I die.
What have you learned?
Violence isn't always the key.
What have you learned?
You can't always believe what you see.
What have you learned?
It's better to forgive and forget.
What have you learned?
Give as you expect to get.
What have you learned?
That I can't go on without you.
What have you learned?
I must have been a fool to ever doubt
you. Where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white, white hate black. It's right back to the same fight. They got us suspecting the war, but the real war is to follow the law of the Lord. I'm ready to meet them. Where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white, white hate black. It's right back to the same fight. They got us suspecting the war, but the real war is to follow the law of the Lord.
Get ready.
That's what it is, y'all. He is up, eyes open, the fist clenched. Like to know for another episode of Freedom on Radio here, International Radio, y'all. Y'all heard it in the game. They playing games to Facebook, playing games to Facebook. You know what I'm saying? So we on official. Put the word out if you can't post on your Facebook page that we are on International Radio YouTube, and we are on the official Chairman Fred, not the official Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. On Instagram. She went on your page, Instagram Live, too, I was thinking. She went off your page. We got, we locked and loaded. Weekly program of the Black Panther Party Cubs, hosted by yours truly, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., and also Robert Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. Let's make history. Let's tape history. Right on. That's what it is. I don't know if how loud y'all hear me. We got, your phone, you can go live on your Instagram. Okay. Conrad, Carlos in the building, you know what I'm saying? We're going to allow Instagram. I Fremont, you call me back. I'm on the radio right now.
Hey, Chairman.
Yes,
listen.
Yeah.
Hey, can I send a donation under your name?
The PayPal. We about to do the PayPal?
I got you.
Call me back and let me know. Appreciate it. And we about the cash shop too. I'll call you back.
Just call me back, bro.
All right, bro. Appreciate it. Right on. Okay, that's what it is. We about to get ready to make history, take history and tape history, y'all. That's what it is. Okay. I heard that DMX. Okay, good question. Those have asked by joining membership. 6 episodes of Freedom All Radio. This is the show you listen to. Right up 6 episodes. And forgive me my frustration. A lot of people say they want to get down, but they really want to get out. They want to talk. I'm ready to be able to say, we got to do what to do. They can give me 6 different bags. The Party go through 6 weeks of political education. Black Party Cubs, we use this equivalent to our political education. So get 6 different episodes of Freedom All Radio and give us a write-up on them. And a write-up means a summation, your thoughts, when you can pull out 6 different episodes, past episodes, and do a write-up on them. Then you have to also write, why would you like to join the Black Panther Party? The Black Panther Party Cubs, what do you think the Black Panther Party Cubs is, what the Black Panther Party was, your thoughts on it. So that's the first one. Email us. You can have to email to get our Black Panther Party Cubs email together. Send it to Chairman Fred Jr., Jr. spelled out, @gmail.com. Then we'll go from there. Then we start talking about the Cub community service, everything. This ain't no quick fix. Now, you know what I'm saying? I just seen some other posts they had. They got some new groups jumping up talking about the Black Panther. I'm so worn and worn out, man. Listen. I said, Ben was at your Cub with me. But, I was talking earlier. And a guy was difficult about coalition doing a lot of new forces and this is not to the person personally. I was out of town. We were doing some events, and the guy comes saying, well, what happened? Why you don't say, why you didn't get there on time, so on and so forth? And I was like, it's like blood in my mouth. I said, you know, it just was revealed recently that over 72% of the information written about the Black Panther Party was written by the feds. Over 90% of the COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program, directed the Black Panther Party. That's important. It's things that, you know, are constantly under attack. Constantly. I mean, continuously under attack. And it's difficult. I say, you know, I said to someone, I said, I got 99 problems, and the pigs involved, the pigs are responsible for all of them, directly and indirectly. And I don't talk about a lot of my problems, because the deal is most we can't understand our problems. You know what I'm saying? That's real talk. You know, it's real talk. I would tell you on Facebook, they shut down, no warning, shut down on Facebook. And there have been more quotes, there have been more quotes attributed to me recently on Facebook than they were attributed to me when I was on Facebook. And so I talked to Sekou Odinga today, Long Hill political prisoner. He said, man, why is it that people don't, you know, we talk and say, you know, I said, what's the good thing about the movie? They say, man, go back and look at different dynamics of the counterinsurgency. And we said from COINTELPRO to now on TELPRO. It's a difficult thing. But what this is, though, let's say this, though. All that being said, the highs and lows in the struggle. Recent high was the release of long-held political prisoner Jerry Odinga Dunnigan. Jerry Odinga Dunnigan, yeah. Held captive. They 45 or 48, I believe. I thought 45 years. Maybe, I mean, my time might be off.
46.
Those who seen the footage, which, excuse me, you guys don't call. Those who seen the footage of the assassination of Chairman Freeh, some people refer to the murder of Freeh, happening. There's a scene being Deputy Mr. Fish, Bobby Rush was speaking, and the brother was standing on post like a tusk earring on, you know, in his ear. That's Odinga. There's a, on the flyer at the breakfast program, that's Odinga, you know. Mm. And we've been pushing out this case for quite some time, and his image impacted me. His stand, I can, you know what I'm saying, to the point we had named one of my comrades of security, Odinga, in honor of him. And he just was released, and I just want to make sure I say this, I'm going to get out again before the show concludes. I think his daughter's name is Renita Dunnigan. It's a clip going around. In fact, on Willie D's Instagram page, they posted it. I think it's Renita, I'm going to get the correct spelling, on Instagram. Renita, reach out to her, and we definitely want to get resources sent, finance, funds sent, welcome back, welcome black to the community. He was directly impacted by the actions of old William O'Neill and other agents of provocateurs. Many people tend to, y'all forgive me, y'all know I usually don't do no commercials up here, and I'm definitely not doing that now, but I'm drinking some coffee right now. And just, these legacies of these individuals help raise me, you know, their body language, without saying a word, their legacy. That legacy remains under attack, you know. Okay, Abraham, I just seen your comment. Okay, do that for me. Write those six write-ups for me, you know what I'm saying? Forgive me, I got a lot of wars, battle scars on me, it's not, you know what I'm saying? I get 90-something, you know what I'm saying, like, calls a day for say, when you get down with this here, you know, and it's a battle, man. It wears on you, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. But I don't want that up. And I'm fearful. I'm gonna switch the subject to those who can't see. I got some comments on him. Young cat just say he want to join. I'll join up for the Panther Cubs. And forgive me, I don't become a pessimist. In fact, I always say I try to back up and give me a breather because I don't never get to the point where I'm just disillusioned, you know. There's a brother I was locked up with in Cook County Jail in 1990-91. He had this tattoo on his shoulder. It was a heart with a lock on it. He was talking about he never had no emotions for no women, no people, no nothing. I said, I don't want to never get like that for the people. I don't want to feel that way. It was a situation in Stateville when they were doing these tours in Springfield. They were coming. Springfield was coming out to these tours. The war had come through. They dressed the concentration camp up. They bring the nice prisoners down. Excuse me, not the prisoners. They bring the nice residents. They call them residents. They bring the residents down. So the guy was on the first floor. He was waxing the floor. They said, we got visitors coming through, tours coming through. So they put us all up in what they call the boondocks. They lock us, the uncontrollable ones. They lock us all up in 7 gallery, 9 gallery. This is a place you don't get no mail at. A lot of people said, Chairman, why you up in a boondocks? You don't get your mail. I said, I don't see no guards either. I said, I'm good. So they were cleaning the gallery up. It was a big festive move for the one, first gallery and third gallery. Because they down there, and it's kind of reversed. They like, you know, the upper, like Jefferson say, moving on up. They were like, when you get down to first and third, like it's a prestige of that. Like, you're on first gallery, third gallery. And they first sent me, we sent you at the 7th gallery. I was like, okay, so your point is what? And I've been walking up through all those stairs. I said, whoo, this is a hell of a flight, a hell of a walk. But the tourists was coming through, and I was just hearing, it just kind of disturbed me how festive, and knowing they just got through, our toilets upstairs wasn't working, none of this. So everybody, they got to play this nice music downstairs. I didn't directly say, but I just say I would have a problem, you know what I'm saying, some stuff falling on the gallery. If the gallery get back dirty, I'd have an issue with it. You know, so next thing you know, the gallery got all messed up again. So the guy who cleaned the gallery, he waxes the gallery. Let me make sure I'm clear, I won't disrespect, you know, his work. He waxes the gallery floor. He came upstairs, he's hollering, man, why you do this? I said, well, I don't kind of confused. Why should we be trying to make this place look beautiful? You know what I'm saying? All the tear gas and beatness is going on around here, you know. And he was explaining to me, he said, you know, I used to be like you. I used to be on, I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, years ago, I used to be on this protest. And I actually asked him, I said, is there a warning sign that happened before you became who you are now? I really need to know, you know what I'm saying, so I can see it coming, you know what I'm saying? But actuality, you know, so I believe that, you know, he has been who he's been all the time. DMX had I seen a snippet from an interview DMX did. DMX said, DMX, what do you mean you trust people? And DMX said, you know, you trust them to be them. And do so, what do you mean? He say, they tell you who they are. He say, this guy's a liar. You trust them to be a liar. He say, you trust. And a lot of times we say, I like that analogy. You say, DMX, you trust them to be who they are. You know? Speaking of DMX, y'all, keep them on your mind, on our minds and hearts. You know, this is a soldier, man. You know, and I'm going to talk about, you know what I'm saying? You talk about, you know what I'm saying, the struggles. And I guarantee you, it's come out because he did a powerful he expressed himself in the interview. He talked about how he just from the age of 7 to 14 years old in the foster care in the institutions. Then when he got out, he said he was beatboxing. He wasn't rapping. The other guy was doing the beatboxing. He was rapping and said, "You need to do rapping." He said, "But he looked up to this guy. This guy's about 30-something years old. He's 14." It was Tam DMX up when he was talking about it. He said, but the guy laced his joint. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And for those who know, not to know, put some crack cocaine in there. That's what the guy was sprawling. I be had this class arrogance. Like, you just stop doing drugs. And it's important to take into account what age he was. He said it. DMX say, how you do this as a child? You know what I'm saying? When they lock us up, the laws, they take into the, you know what I'm saying, what impacts your brain, you know, certain ages, the developmental stages, how you, you know, I think Frederick Douglass said it's easier to rear good children as opposed to repairing broken adults. There are certain things that stick into, you know, stick with you. And this goes again, I know you're going to say, oh, here you come again, trying to tie the Black Panther Party into it. You're damn right. The breakfast program, the timing that it hit, who it hit, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And even with the state due to us, the breaking process, what we see, what type of individuals we have, you know, and it's going to have to come to a point that DMX. I said, I'm speaking like he's coming up out of this, because that's what I'm saying, you know, I'm just out, man, he's a soldier, man, I'm hoping like hard he comes up out of this, man,
yeah,
and this has to be confronted, you know, politically. I'm willing to do the thing, you know what I'm saying, because what I mean by that is, the individual, the politics, and I guarantee you some major player in the music industry, you don't see without a doubt, a person that benefited off of, you know, his addiction. And it's a piece, I was watching the Mayans the other night. Watching the Mayans, and this guy, he was trained by these special forces. So later on, he worked for the government in another capacity, the cartel. So now he's in the cartel, stealing from the U.S. government. So he did the thing with the U.S. Special Forces, and the guy that trained him had kidnapped him, and he was torturing him. He looked up to this guy. You know, saying that's what really brought him on to be, you know, saying to be a quote unquote American. And when his guy that came and saved him out of there, took him up out from the U.S. Special Forces, he was so tortured he couldn't walk, and his guy automatically gave him the gun. He had to do that. He said, no. He said the Spanish said, no. And automatically gave him the wrench. Because he had to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? They helped Clint to get that. This who trained him, this also who tortured him. That cleansing process, you know. And like even the one you need that is the Black Power movement of the 60s. There was a lot of the party stood up and told them, let their parents know, with all due respect, whatever information you've given to me from your schools, your church, whatever. I'm confronting that. I'm not with that, you know. And it's a certain process you have to go through. And not in a reactionary way, but to confront, you know what I'm saying? And that's something that holds a lot of people back. Like, a lot of people tell their political line is impacted by their relationships, whether it be the mother, father, woman, man, what have you. You know what I'm saying? And that position to take a stance. This was Sharon Frey talking about Larry Robinson. Larry Robinson said, man, whoever it be, my mother, my father, whoever it be, I'm going to serve the people. And that's a stance that people have to take. I remember we fought for that, the street name after Chairman Fred around 2005, 2006 in Chicago. I remember being in City Hall. I remember being about 4 or 5 feet standing eye to eye with Mayor Daley, Richard Daley Jr. I remember that process, you know. I remember going to the funeral services to pay our disrespects to William O'Neill, James Gloves Davis, and we hang your hand. It was a, these are necessary dynamics that people have to go through to cleanse the process, to deal with certain contradictions. We live and direct on the Free of My Radio, International Radio. Y'all feel free to call in the club, being, I think I called directly, 708-223-8953. Let's make history. Let's take history. Let's tape history, y'all. We just came back from Minneapolis, like, literally hours ago. It's difficult to watch the trial on TV. It's an insult to your intelligence, you know what I'm saying? But y'all intake on it. But again, I need so I can get posted the contact. Renika Dunnigan, it's a post that's posted. I'm just gonna get a direct name. We'll contact her. As a Jerry Dunnigan, how we get some welcome back funds and resources to this soldier. Free them all.
It's Renatta.
One more time, R-E?
N-A-T-T-A.
R-E-N, two N's?
A. R-E-N, A as in apple, A as in apple, T-T-A.
Renita, one N, Renita Dunnigan. Is Dunnigan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's her name on Instagram?
Well, that's her name on the TikTok thing that she posted. I mean, that's her name.
Okay.
I don't know what her username is.
Okay, well, see, we need to find a username. So I don't know how to TikTok work. If they can inbox or what, I want to get word to them that y'all heard about the case on Free of My Radio. You know what I'm saying? We're going to figure out, you know what I'm saying, it's a cash app. It's something we can get some resources, some support funds to this soldier who's been held captive. You know what I'm saying? Again, Jerry Odinga Dunnigan. This past Friday release. Again, let's contact this sister, his daughter, see how we can get some, you know, some funds to this soldier and get the word to. I look forward to seeing you, comrade. I do. I heard stories about him when I was locked up. I heard about him being placed in isolation just for refusing to take down the picture of Chairman Fred. I would hear these war stories about him, you know. So, you know what I'm saying? Man, good to be back. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You know, can you hear me clear? Because I'm calling from a different phone,
no.
So I don't know
okay.
What the connection is like.
Right, my fault.
You
right.
Said you can?
My fault. You're calling 929-477-3785. Y'all feel free to call in 929-477-3785, then press 1. A lot of things
Jeremy,
going
can
on.
You hear me?
Yes, I can.
You hear me clear?
Yeah. Grandma, I can, yeah.
Okay. I was going to go back to, you know, when you were talking about the guy that gave DMX the lace blunt and everything. Sometimes, I think a lot of times when people get on drugs or when they are first introduced is by someone that, you know, is just telling them to try this. I've been in situations like this, like, try this or hit this. Well, what is it? Just hit it. And then you become, you know, it takes you somewhere else that it messes up your whole world. And I remember feeling bad one time because I used to smoke cigarettes. Not like, I just smoked them for the, it gave me a buzz. And a friend of mine, she didn't smoke. And she was like, why you smoke cigarettes? I said, because it gave me a buzz. You want to try? Here, try it. And she became later on, she smoked like packs a day. And I felt bad because I was like, damn, if I hadn't said, here, try it, she might not have been, you know, smoking cigarettes like a train. And I think, you know, a lot of times that's happened. You don't even think of the outcome. You don't think of down the line how this can affect a person throughout their life. So... I was just bringing that up.
This was a peer? She grew up with you? A peer?
Yeah. Well, she was a friend I met at school. I was away from school. I didn't, and we became real close. I was rapping at the time, and she was too, but she always followed me around, and she always wanted to, you know, she admired me, and she admired my style and stuff, and shoot, I, that,
Well, you know,
you don't realize that the influence or the power that you have. Like, I didn't even look at it. Like, I probably could have said, do this or anything, and she might have done it. And I didn't look at it like that at that time. But listening to you, you know, and I saw that same interview with DMX, and it made me think of that. Like, why would you do that? But she, I mean, we both were grown. We wasn't little. And still, if I hadn't given it to her, maybe she wouldn't have that cigarette addiction. So it just you don't realize sometimes. Go ahead.
I think the impact. I was on point. He mentioned that the guy with the crack with him was 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was 30. He was 14.
So he's definitely impressionable by that man.
Yes, I think that's important. And also, I was saying also that I think the industry that I suspect is someone that's in power. I think it's important, there's the politics, there's certain officials, like I talked about, like even the things, the abuse in the church, and there's a certain, we all, even adults are impacted by peer pressure. That, you know, what's mm-hmm. fashionable, it's natural to be a part of something. But there's also, there's a dynamic, we're talking about what goes on, you know, like in the they call it casting couch in Hollywood and other places. There is
mm-hmm.
An additional politics that goes along with it. That's why I pointed out the possibility of someone in the industry, because whether it's said or not said, you know what I'm saying, it's not to the same extent, but I think about, like, even when they talk about, it was a debate on whether Sally Hemings had a quote-unquote relationship with Thomas Jefferson. And mm-hmm. I said relationship, no, because, I mean, you don't have the power to say, you know, I don't feel like mm-hmm. I have a headache tonight or something, so on and so forth. It's told what you can do, what you can't do. And that whole question of mm-hmm. power, the politics of that, you know what I'm saying, in addition to, you know, since we're talking about, you know, child and adult, and actually the state power trumps all of that. In other words, there's something where, you know, where, like people talk about in their job, in their workplaces, where, you know, it could be a young white executive, or a young white police officer who, you know, who's younger than telling a grown person, you know, saying, when the police ask a person, can they search your car? So that dynamic of power, of, you know, saying, of that reigns, that kind of looms over the quote unquote question about, you know what I'm saying, about doing something. That's
mm-hmm.
I think that's something that I really have, that is a point that distinguishes the contradictions within the people. The people, there, of course, there are contradictions. You know what I'm saying? No one comes out of this clean. However, it's a different, like some people, this is kind of like in a different breath, but I discussed with someone about slavery the other day, and they were talking about there was slavery in Africa. I said it's a different dynamic than colonialism. I say, well, you know, say for example, just in pre-colonialism, that, you know, so a person can, their child would not necessarily have to be a slave. They can practice their respective religion. Colonialism guts the humanity out of you. In fact, that's why they use the term chattel, it's like property. So this whole dynamic of something, and what capacity, you know what I'm saying, on a workplace, or a politic to this system that tells that, you know, say, like America's definition of diplomacy is letting others have their way. You know what I'm saying? When they ask other countries, would you like to have more Coca-Cola over there? Would you like to? It's really not a question. In fact, it's a book called Economic Hitman, and it kind of lays down the steps in which the state goes through when they approach different countries about, you know, taking on contracts and, you know what I'm saying, taking on, you know, the people they're working with. They think that they made a bid or made a choice in it. And the politics is necessary. You know what I'm saying? I've said before, I love this soldier. I love this brother. And I talk about the different, the reactionary dynamic. And this is a lot of times it's a reaction. And it takes the policy to put it in context, because a lot of times people deal in absolute, like, you know, he was, even his articulation, he was talking about his love for this individual. And that's something difficult. I think is what a reactionary assessment is. It's hard to pick out the particulars of what's unique about this quote unquote decision that was made. This what distinguishes. A lot of times, most people deal in absolutes. They say, okay, well, this is slavery is all the same. Well, getting high is all the same. It's a difference in the timing of, I'm saying, for him knowingly, you know what I'm saying, there was crack inside the marijuana. Then you also have to put stuff in context of time. Today's audience, that may not seem like a big deal now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all with the mm-hmm. purpose set, the mollies, the whole thing. It's important mm-hmm. to talk about, like I tell you, like certain dynamics, like when you talk about even resources and money, you have to look at what these cats dealing with and what type of drugs, and you, but to put it in context of that time, and you're saying put it in context of that time to even to become a recording artist. You know what I'm saying? It's like now it's a different dynamic. A lot of these cats, they can be, you know what I'm saying, you know, the drugs are more really accessible, you know what I'm saying? But who had access to which particular drugs at the time with cocaine? No matter, you know what I'm saying, even give you put in political context, at the military defeat of the Black Power movement in the 1960s, cocaine was seen as upper class white man's drug. You know what I'm saying? Our communities were bombarded with heroin and other derivatives of the poppy leaf, which, you know what I'm saying, came, particularly from Vietnam, where William Sullivan, who's the deputy director of the FBI, architect the COINTEL program, unleashed with J. Edgar Hoover. And when he said he came back from Vietnam, Southeast Asia, you know what I'm saying, I'm bottled with horse habits and heroin habits. And this was strategic. They want us nodded out after standing up and fighting. Then in 78, the same individual was sent to Latin America, deal with that so-called drug problem. When he came back from Latin America, all of a sudden, you know, saying, I'm so tired, this is ridiculous. I'm going to call this dude directly. He get this, get me on this call list or whatever. Calling me all, man. Let me stay focused. 1978, William Sullivan was sent to Latin America. They, when he returned, the black community was bombarded with, you know what I'm saying, with cocaine leaf, the crack epidemic in the Latin America, was the coca leaf growing, the raw form of cocaine. And this is, you know what I'm saying, and even at the type of, you put it, the mindset under the Reagan administration, the whole, with it bred individualism, me, I, even drugs are particular. So even to note that dynamic of what crack did, you know what I'm saying, in the long range, you know what I'm saying, and like even cigarettes are political also. It's that, like, you know, I was raising a point the other day, so I say, I mean, the deal is, it's to take it out of the individual context and say, okay, it was reinforced. Like, okay, like now, in fact, I had this struggle on the movie set. I recall struggling about the amount of times that you witnessed initially in the movie the Black Panther smoking cigarettes. And I raised issue about it. I say, this is a generation that does not see people smoking on TV now. It's not, you know, a lot of youngsters say, damn, they don't even notice that. But mm-hmm. for their first impression to see people smoking and then the Black Panther Party, as a, you know, so you didn't see initially, I said, you don't see the Young Patriots, or Young Lord, you know, and there's no slight, Young Lord, or the FBI. You know what I'm saying? So they said, damn, Chairman, you're right. In fact, one person on the movie said, I had never seen this amount of resource put into the whole thing about cigarettes. So we had to struggle about that, you know, to balance it out and take it, you know, and not negating that there was some smoking there. But however, your first impression, you know, and we have to put it in context, so it was not taking the weight as an individual to say the climate, you know, say what was going on, what type of commercials, and, you know what I'm saying, like, I recall talking to the brother who was locked up with me, you know, so we talking about the whole, like, even how crack and certain, like, it was certain locations, certain organizations, how, you know, even the terms were used, you know what I'm saying, like, looked down upon, and, you know, in certain places, the type of, the Scarface movies, the impact of that. So the politics helps give us a sanity to say, wait a minute, this is bigger than me as an individual. This is a climate that, you know, was put forward, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, again, for the movie reference, a lot of individuals, a lot of people have never seen a frame of reference of an organization. The only images they have seen was individuals. So the ecosystem. So it does. You go back and take an objective look and say, wait a minute, this cigarette dynamic. Going to say, what time? What was going on? The movie, all that. So I'm not copping. Please, taking the way I'm doing this. And again, I think it's imperative that we try to put all this in political context. And I'm saying to say that with this dynamic, even with this individual, I won't even put the onus. I point out that this guy was with this movie Mayans. I point out this was a Mayan, that he was with the special forces. The way he tortured the individual, the way what he done to him, it's a, like I tell you, you really can pick up on who did what murders. You know what I'm saying? This guy was, you know what I'm saying, the way he done it to this individual, it was a state way. It was a way he was tortured. It's the way that even we be up front, like even. I was just in yesterday on George Floyd Square, and I was making some comments about I can pick up on who what areas, what cities, who they've been colonized by, the history of it. So I'm saying it to say this whole I suspect the person was in industry, because if we heighten the contradiction, it can be laid out that kind of like Richard Pryor. Someone recently talking about what they had access to, what was brought to them, and the deal, you know, is a different as a person going and get, you know what I'm saying, that state is a, that's like I showed, I was in LA, and this brother stood up on the, a 12-year-old Devin Brown was murdered by the police, and another organization got there and said, well, we have to be there, we have to have the same momentum when we kill each other, it's the same thing. That's how big the difference. It's a different, we can call ourselves, so we say, well, we're about to kill each other. That's a different dynamic with that state murder. It's official. It's a different dynamic with that abuse of that priest. It's a powerlessness. It's a gutting. It's a like comparison during the era of chattel slavery with the slavery with our people in Africa, prior to colonialism, that you feel for to even give birth to a child. Because you know that child is going to be cared. That child is going to have to continue this lineage of slavery, as opposed to there's some hope. Say, you got your with us, Sheikh Anta Diop talked about. How we deal with each other, even if it's contradictory. We went to war. This tribe took you hostage, or took you prisoner. You may be a slave. But that does not mean that your child will be a slave. So now you have a whole, it produce a different type of people with two. You say, why are women jumping up the slave, jumping in the water with sharks? Pregnant women, why would they do it? Why would they want to do this? It produces a different mindset that, you know what I'm saying? It produces, it sticks with you. You know what I'm saying? And it gives us, so we can, even when we have conversations with each other, it's a brother just come home 25 years, and we were laughing about, you know, oh, it's youngsters, man. We bumped heads, and I'm putting that lightly. But we can dialogue and deal with each other. But I'm looking forward. Matter of fact, I'm grabbing him and a few more of them brothers, who all of them bumped heads. All of them bumped heads, but it was never a line of the state. Nobody, not out of all these forces, no one worked with the state. That the deal is, if it's, we have to draw it. We have to go back and look at our contradictions in our communities and our people, whether it be addiction, whether it be rivalries, whatever we have, and figure out whether they differences amongst us, whether issues amongst us, or were they state differences. And that's, we have to, that core, that has to be brought out and to be politicized for that cleansing process, something more powerful than rehab. A political rehab is going to be necessary for DMX. It's going to be a cleansing. The minute you people say when a slave kills a slave master, an oppressor is gone, a new man is born. It's a cleansing process. It's a dynamic of, you know, shaking, you know what I'm saying, because taking a chance on not only the slave master, you know what I'm saying, but would I be free, homeless, you know what I'm saying, how would I survive without this slave master, willing to take those questions on. I'm sure, you know what I'm saying, I'm shooting the dice with this. Even it was brought, some of the dynamics, I'm going to the mind of, I try to study even imperialism. I go in and out because I don't want to get caught up in that matrix too long. But certain dynamics brought to them. You know what I'm saying? I'm listening to some of the content schools. He say, I'm beatboxing. The other guy's rapping. And he said, why don't you rap? I'm sure certain words and terms, like, you will sound better with this. You know, there's a certain sentence. So you now have to take the chance on the cleansing process. Because even everything the slave master wanted to articulate is, without this, you cannot survive. This is a type of imperialism, the pedophile. Without this, you cannot make it, even if it's a horrid experience. To be able to take a chance that I'm going to cleanse this. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how I'm going to say, but I got to be better than this. They were holding over guys in prison. They were, you know what I'm saying, the guards would come through, you know, beating. I remember a lawyer asked, he said, why is there a big fear of being transferred? I say, because even with on certain plantations or certain prisons, the grooves of how certain masters are going to beat you, you know how to turn your back to accept the pain. You know what the rate, what time he comes in, which bed when she's going to take in at night. You kind of get used to even your abuse. It's a dynamic. They say, I'm here now. I don't want to take a chance. I'm going to say I might end up in another dynamic. So that liberating it's a hell of a thing. It's the stand up. I remember mother comrade taking me as a child. We went to the job she worked at. Now she said she fed up with. She about to leave. About to bounce. And I remember I was looking. I said, damn. I just seen the typewriters and the. I said, you gonna leave this? And I was tripping. she had no when she's gonna work. I'm not. She's man. It's a wrap. And we have to, you know, this struggle to distinguish our, we have contradictions, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about the Rainbow Coalition. We just was down there in Minneapolis. We just did it happen. And I say, we have to heighten the contradictions, you know what I'm saying? Be willing to acknowledge that amongst all our ranks, you know what I'm saying? Something more deeper than race nationalism has to be put forward. A political analysis on, you know what I'm saying, a position that Kim Il-sung, you know, he told the United States, oh, no, the South Korea, they may align with you, Yankee. We not with you. You know what I'm saying? And that dynamic to say, okay, and that's a good therapy for even those who we've had rivalries with, those who we think we have impacted. You know what I'm saying? Say, man, this is a wrong decision. To go to say, lay out and say, listen, I too. You know what I'm saying? It's humbling. I made mistakes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But it's a different dynamic to say, no, the state, the system, you know what I'm saying? And that's what has to be addressed. Like, and people have to challenge it and say, man, I don't know if I can rap good without this. That's not a monkey on your back. That's a pig on your back. And that's more difficult to shake. That's more harder the challenge, you know what I'm saying? Because that pig is intertwines into this, you know what I'm saying? And you can sometimes it's hard for people to distinguish. Is it me or is it the pig? I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, man, we was watching the trial, the chief of police is on TV. When the comrades say, oh, that nigga, that's us. You mean the African American? He said, yeah. I said, don't disrespect them niggas. I said, you mean the African American? Because, you know what I'm saying? That's a dynamic. It's intertwines, you know what I'm saying, with it, and it's hard to, before you know it, you can't distinguish which yours, and people take credit. I remember I got into the history teacher. She was telling me about what mankind did to the earth. I said, you got to be confused. I said, who, what man you talking about? And she said, well, it doesn't, I said, it doesn't make a difference. I said, let's be clear on that. We live in the record, y'all. Let's making history, taking this and taping history, free of my radio, and intellectual radio. 929-477-3785. Press 1 to get in. And also make sure we touch down with Renita. I need to spell it again, Coles.
R-E-N-A-T-T-A. Dunnigan.
Dunnigan. The daughter of Jerry O'Dinger Dunnigan. Live and direct, y'all. I need to get an inbox up track. How can we get resources, funds sent to her? To get us the aid assistance soldier. Welcome back home, Jerry O'Dinger Dunnigan. That's what it is, y'all.
Yes, sir. Also, long free all. Live the legacy of Little Bobby Hutton. April 6th just passed when he was murdered. So, long live the first recruit to the Black Panther Party.
Yes, and I was him and Jonathan Jackson both, I'll be saying 16 and 17, but assassinated. Treasurer, Black Panther Party, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a, and those who seen that picture of him with that the derby hat or whatever, walking with that shotgun up in Sacramento, May 2nd, 1967. You know what I'm saying? Executive mandate number one, read by the Chairman Bobby Seale over the Minister UEP Newton. It was been the UEP Newton basically said to the unarmed people subject to slavery at any given time. Lil Bobby Hutton, assassinated April 6, 1968. And I just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I got to ease this in there too. I got to say, long, little Bobby Hutton, long, big law, Lon's law, because we had named it honor him. But Lil Bobby Hutton, you know what I'm saying? Panther and Hard Panther. D. Marlon Brando spoke at the funeral service. Also, most other people, Lil Bobby Hutton, no doubt, lonely legacy, Lil Bobby Hutton, April 6, 1968, assassinated by the federal government. 2 days after Dr. King was assassinated by the
Edwards
COINTELPRO.
That's
y'all, make sure y'all tune in. Right on. We live direct.
And
let me know if we got any callers in queue, 929-477-3785. Press 1. Come on, caller. Let me know if you want to touch in. You know what I'm saying? You're here. We live. It's the microphone we use right here. Any updates you got?
Yo, white Dev, Kanahus, Basque Request. Hello, everyone out there. My name is Kanahus Basque Emmanuel. I'm traveled all the way from so-called Canada, British Columbia, Suquamish Ulu, who's our territory. I'm a freedom fighter, come from a long line of freedom fighters in my family, and it's an honor to be here. And with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., we've been touching down on hot spots, like he said. We just got back from George Floyd Square yesterday and the trial for Derek Chauvin that's happening right now. We all know he's guilty. We know that this illegal and this state and this system is there. It's white supremacist. And whether it's here in so-called America, Triple K America, or Canada, and we're dealing with Canada's pipeline right now from the Alberta tar sands. That's our big issue that we're facing. The Alberta tar sands, they want to mine the area the size of Texas. It's the big global oil reserves that they're looking at to pump this military pipeline, toxic bitumen. It's called Dilbit, which is one of the most toxic crude oils, and they want to ship that from via pipeline from the Alberta tar sands through our mountains, the Rocky Mountains in so-called British Columbia, right through Suquamish Ulu, 518 kilometers of our land, through glacier rivers and creeks and salmon-bearing rivers and spawning grounds, all the way to the Salish Sea, which is right there in Vancouver, in the inlets all around Vancouver. They want super tankers. Vancouver's never seen super tankers, but they want these super tankers filling this bitumen all the way from there, all the way down the coast of Washington State, Oregon, and down into refineries into California, then off to China through the Panama Canal up towards Boston, and then off. So it's like not going to make any money. Top economists are saying it's not going to make any money. We know it's a military pipeline, and indigenous people are standing in the way of this pipeline. Of course, we're the ones being criminalized, we're the ones being targeted. Today was actually a court date where one of the Crown judges were making a decision whether I was guilty for doing a Facebook Live in front of a Trans Mountain pumping station, and they charged us with intimidation. So me and my twin sister went through a week-long video trial to prove our innocence over a Facebook video, and they don't want any of this information going out. They don't even want us to be just doing social media in front of these infrastructure. And so the judge has delayed her decision till May, and what has risen out of it is just addressing that we have Suquamish law, we have jurisdiction to our lands, we have rights to be on our land, and it's going to be a really touchy situation to see how this judge responds, because we've been screaming that this is a white supremacist pipeline, that they're pushing it through the bodies of indigenous, pretty well indigenous women, because we're standing in the way. We're building tiny houses on wheels, and we we build them like tanks. They're tiny houses on wheels, and we deploy them onto our territory. We're able to house indigenous land defenders to in the path of this pipeline, and we've been out in the mountains, in the Rockies, in our territory for the past 3 winters, stopping and blocking this pipeline, and we've been using all forms of tactics, including targeting the insurance companies where they need $500 million of insurance contracts to even to operate on our lands. So we've had the top insurance companies pull out Zurich Insurance and 2 other insurance companies, and we've been targeting the contractors of this pipeline, having blockades at billionaires' homes in Vancouver, West Vancouver, blockading their homes and, you know, just going right to their offices. And really want to just shout out Braided Warriors. Everyone could check them out, Braided Warriors. They've been really holding it down and blocking and doing as much direct action as they can to put pressure on this company. And we know that it comes from all the banks out there that are also investing. So, yeah, we went to Europe to target these banks and insurance companies, and we had people, a part of our family and movement, that went to S&P, Standard & Poor's, to actually request that Canada, you know, credit rating be lowered. Pretty well what they said is, like, who's going to enforce this, who and what army? And so, like, as Indigenous people, we have a right to our own military and our own self-defense, and that's what we talk about, too, when we're talking about self-determination and some of the work that we're doing here with Black Panther Party Cubs and the discussion of what does self-determination look like and really building on the solutions. We all know that we have, like, a bombardment of problems and issues that arise because of colonization. How are we going to build these solutions together? We're dealing with opioid crisis in Indigenous communities in Canada. We're dealing with housing issues. We're dealing with police violence. We're dealing with all of these same issues that our people everywhere, Black and Brown people, are dealing with, whether it's in the cities or the reservations. We're dealing with this, and it's up to us to build these solutions and build some projects and commitments that we work together collectively, because our freedom, you know, is bound with each other. We can't be free without us all being free. And for us as Indigenous people, it's all based on land. And we're here all on this great Turtle Island from, like, Alaska to Argentina. This is Indigenous territory, and to respect that there's Indigenous laws in place. And if we could all do that and abide by Indigenous law instead of this capitalist white man's law, then we would all have our human rights respected. We would all have homes. We would all have food if we still lived by those Indigenous laws. So those are the things that I want to talk. How do we turn away from the system and actually build something really beautiful where we're all fed, where we all have homes, where we're all able to survive in a beautiful land that's not destroyed? And big picture goals, that's what I want to talk and see, build, like we said, like in a dream world, how would we actually be existing right now and start building that? Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk.
Right on. Let me, again, you know, contrary to a lot of propaganda, I said this before, contrary to the propaganda that put out by the Tarzan movies and the John Wayne movies, resistance is still happening on both and other respective communities. People hear terms like the pipelines, and, you know, saying there's a lot of problems, you know, so we're going to do this way, you know, to transport, you know, oil and move forward, take, you know, saying development, land, so on and so forth. And kind of similar to, like, some of the arguments you're running about gentrification, like how, you know, it's going to, you know, beautify the land and more people, you know what I'm saying, going to be employed, so on and so forth. What is the underbelly of such discussions about the pipelines, you know what I'm saying, enlighten us? Because some people heard about the resistance at Standard Rock, North Dakota, about, you know, challenging. A lot of people weren't familiar with, okay, what's the details of that? You know, similar to, like, I have a reactionary assessment. They, you know, see that the diamonds, you know, and so on, so out, you know, out of the Sierra Leone, other places, you know what I'm saying, without knowing the underbelly of it, you know what I'm saying, what cost, you know, kind of like, I guess it can be equated to the sausage factory, you know what I'm saying? The people talking about even their struggles about even how cattle at the slaughterhouse, the process of them being murdered, because they say, like, even just the way the land, the guys, with the animals, land, anybody, the way that you're murdered, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, they're talking about, like, go back to the cattle, for example, the way that the blood flows, or you know what I'm saying, just from the fear of the shock, if it's not not killed in a certain way, it impacts the way the meat even tastes. What damages, you know, so what detriment to the land, to the respective people, to the land, this happened. We're talking about this pipeline and other contradictions.
Well, first of all, I think I should just paint a picture of what my home looks like for people to see, know what's at risk, is because you look at Canada and colonization, it's 150 years. It's just a baby country when you look at other so-called nation states around the world, and that colonization and the impacts haven't been as drastic as, say, like right here in Chicago, where some industry and roads and, you know, just colonization has hit so much sooner in the history. And so we still have mountains, pure, pristine, clear, crisp, pure water that you can just go down to the creek and just drink it. You know, we have deer, we have caribou, we have moose, we have salmon, we have, you know, lynx. Like, there was just a lynx and a bobcat that just walked by our house, like, the other week before I left. And we still eat traditional food. So, like, our sustenance is meat, and everyone knows how much they spend at a grocery store to go buy meat and for this protein in our kids' diets. Well, when we hunt a moose, we'll do ceremonies to respect that moose. We'll give offerings, but that moose will provide us like 1,000 pounds of meat. And you know, have steak, you have T-bone, you have ribs, you have ground meat, you have all this meat that could last you for you and your families and your extended family for a long time. And we're grateful for that. So it's like we say our economy is a relationship between each other, a reciprocal relationship. The moose gives to us, and then we give back by respecting that moose, making sure we handle everything properly. That's our laws. And if we don't abide by our laws, by respecting that moose and using every single part of it, then there could be spiritual and natural consequences to us and our families and our nation and our communities, meaning if we don't handle that right, the creator or ancestors will make it hard so we can't hunt. We won't be able to see any game. So that's how our law is. It's not like you're guilty, you go to jail. Our law is like you respect and you have a responsibility to Earth and it's all of its animals and elements, because we know we depend on it. That's our economy. And it's got it all backwards when we think of like the white man economy, where it's like you're taking resource from the land and extracting it, like logs, everything, to make this microphone, to make this table, to make everything we have, this hat, the clothing is from the land. Everything is from the land. We're not getting it from outer space. Well, when these Mayans come in to mine this bitumen, they're extracting it from the land, and it's creating tailings ponds that are so toxic, and the people are bathing in the water, and they're getting lesions on their skins. They're getting rare types of cancers, where in a population the size of New York City, there should be only maybe 3 people that have this rare cancer, but they're getting, like, people in a native reserve will have, like, 15 people with this rare type of cancer. You don't even hear about this type of cancer in other places but the Alberta tar sands in that area. These oil industries bring in men from around the world that are transient workers working as pipeline welders and contractors and oil riggers, and they call it oil rigging culture. You could even go on TikTok or wherever and you could put hashtag oil rigging culture, or you're going to find these men that flock to these areas that leave their wives for months at a time, leave their families for months at a time, don't have no accountability to the communities, going to in and around Indigenous communities where sexual attacks and rapes against Indigenous women increase, and sometimes up to 45% once these man camps come in and around Indigenous communities. So the violence, the sexual, the human trafficking that comes in and around whenever oil business comes in and around Native communities is what we see and what we feel. Everything from like the rent increase, because these men in these first starting wage of the Alberta tar sands are out of high school and they have $100,000 wages already. So it's really enticing for our Indigenous men to leave the reserves and leave their families to go get a paycheck of $100,000 a year, which is, and then they have so much more incentives. And Christmas, they'll get a $10,000 credit card for their families. Like, so it's really enticing, and we're losing so much of our Indigenous men and potential warriors and land defenders going out there to work for the Alberta tar sands. But now we're seeing the effects too, because there's like domestic violence. The violence still spreads back home when they go home to their families. And so money is never the solution, because with money there becomes other issues, because colonization and our people, how they're are impacted right now because of genocide and everything, is that we do have a lot of addictions. We do have a lot of, so even though they have money, it's going and being put into other stuff, because our people aren't healthy in our minds. We've been so impacted by colonization, like you talked about the priests. Like, we're dealing with that today, even though I wasn't at residential school where all this abuse happened at the hands of the priests. I'm the first generation outside of those church-run Indian residential schools up in Canada. But I still impacted by it and the intergenerational trauma. And I see the same things, because we have the same symptoms. They're there, the scars. Like you said, like, we have the same scars, our people do. And we're finding different ways to heal from that too. And it is, it's like empowering our people by being able to feed our people, by housing our people. Tiny House Warriors has empowered so much people that we can build our own homes, which was like a big thing for us, to be able to like house ourselves. And because we have such a big housing crisis, and so much of our people are pushed into urban settings, where it just even perpetuates, you know, even more into like, we want to decolonize. We don't want to colonize our people. We want to decolonize and go back to our ways, because that's the strong ways, like eating our traditional foods, our traditional ceremonies, singing and dancing. Like, we even had that conversation before. Like, we were able to, our young warriors were able to dance and sing around the fire and dance our war songs to empower our young people to go out to battle. And battle now may be feeding the people. Battle now may be like getting our people, you know, out there to help, like, you know, like the breakfast program. Like, you know, we need we need to be able to feed our people healthy foods and get our people's minds right, because so much of our young people and are days behind on meals. You know, where all our people want is just to have a fridge full of food, where they don't have to worry and ration their foods out for the month. Like, we're dealing with that on the reservations. That's why we want to plant 1,400 acres of organic food. We want to promote all, anyone who wants to do community gardening, and because that's the only way we're going to be able to do it, is if we plant enough for the people. And that's what my grandfather said, we got to nourish the nation. We can't have a revolution without being able to feed the people. We can't have an army of defense in order to, that's the first thing they'll cut off from us, is our food. And so we're going to have to think of that ourselves. We can't depend on the system forever. And those are the type of things that I believe that we need to collaborate on and continue to work on, because it's the solutions. Like we said, the revolution's the only solution, and feeding the people is necessary, housing. And it's not just a pipeline that we're fighting. This is just one of the attacks that we're reacting to right now. Yeah, but really we want to build our nation strong and powerful and mighty, like we were, and, you know.
Right on. Live on that record, Fremont Radio, making history, taking this and taping history, y'all. We talking about real deal, real resistance, you know what I'm saying? Again, to the solidarity, you know what I'm saying? Again, the Rainbow Coalition is not over. It's still getting down, y'all. Y'all feel free to call in. Better yet, feel free to club in at 929-477-3785. It's Fremont Radio weekly program with the Black Panther Party Clubs, hosted by yours, Julie, Chairman Fred Hammond Jr., Robert Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. Y'all feel free again. We locked and loaded. Do we have any callers in queue to come right down?
Fremont, Brother Chairman, we have Comrade
Rosner,
thank you, sir.
Welcome to Fremont Radio.
Fremont, Chairman, Fremont, Comrade Connor Hoos, definitely enjoying the program, you know what I'm saying? Crucial points being touched on, and salute Black Panther Party Cubs and the Rainbow Coalition for the powerful work out there in George Floyd Ground in Minneapolis, you know? Just had a couple little updates I wanted to provide, if that's cool.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, please do.
Okay, yes, sir. So, what you mentioned earlier in terms of DMX, you know, I saw a recent interview that he did about a month ago on the show called Drink Champs, you know, hosted by Noriega from Capone and Noriega rap group, you know. And it was interesting because even on that show, you know, if you look at the comments, and this is about a month ago, right? You know, and that, you know, the show's kind of centered around the drink, around drinking, you know what I'm saying? And you can even see the energy of how that affected the brother DMX, even in that setting, you know, because, you know, as we know, addiction is a disease and chemical biological warfare is a reality, you know what I mean? And just what you were saying with that dynamic with the hip hop industry and the way that works, you know, I definitely, it's pretty disturbing, you know what I'm saying? To hear that story and then about DMX when he was 14 years old, and then to flash forward, you know, and see this interview, you know what I mean? And just peep that energy, you know what I'm saying? You know, continuous attacks, you know what I'm saying, by the industry against the soldiers. Because even in that interview, you know, another dynamic that came up is they were asking him questions. Who would you rather work for, this producer or work with, rather, this producer or that producer, right? And they asked him about Pharrell Williams. And he's like, hold on. He's like, actually, Pharrell, he's a musical genius, but I ain't touching him. And Nori's like, why is that? He's like, because, he's like, I just seen on an interview where he says, I'm snitching. He said he got the FBI on speed dial, you know what I'm saying? And Noriega was like, oh, yeah, that was on our show. That was on this show, you know? And they showed the clip, you know what I'm saying? And so, again, you're just showing the kind of caliber of soldier, of individual we're talking about when we're talking about a brother like DMX, you know what I mean? And, yeah, I just want to point out some of those dynamics. And then I know you touched on it last week with March 31st being the two-year anniversary of the assassination of Nipsey Hussle in front of his Marathon store on Crenshaw and Slauson. And, you know, we was out there, you know, from early in the morning. You know, I know you touched on it in the show, but I just want to give a quick little report back because it was something to see that repression, you know, because – and the community was really feeling it, you know what I mean? Because even I was out there about 9 in the morning, and there was already – you know, the place is already boarded up, but now they boarded up even the back alley spots. It got to the point where, you know, they had brothers and sisters were setting up you know, kind of areas right there on Crenshaw and Slauson to kind of celebrate, you know what I mean, acknowledge the passing, you know, the assassination again of Nipsey, and LAPD was showing their pig, you know, showing their force, you know, kicking people off, and we were seeing the tension, you know, and I even went back a couple hours later, you know, we was on location, so we went back and just, you know, to assess the situation, and even then. If you see, there's a Fat Burger right there on Crenshaw and Slauson, and on the backside of the Fat Burger, there's a mural that was done by Brother Ink One, and they even cut off the Fat Burger parking lot. You had LAPD, these pigs, literally stopping people from coming in, and I took a little video because we actually kind of snuck back there to try to get some shots in, and one of these pigs came up and was like, "Oh, there's no photos today," and you know, I questioned that. I was like, "No photos." Like, what do you mean? This is a pup, you know what I mean? And she's like, oh, there was something about a shooting yesterday involving photos. And, you know, the pig herself, you know what I'm saying, knew that it was some pig shit, you know what I mean, that she was, you know, to try to justify that. And it, on a lesser level, it really made me flash back to even, you know, thinking about the shooting up of Chairman Fred Sr.'s tombstone annually, you know what I mean, to where even when our forces, you know, are assassinated, this system is hell-bent on making sure that we can't even memorialize them properly. You know what I mean? And, that was a phenomenon. I just wanted to touch on that. Two other things. Yeah. One, Brother Shaka Atenin, one of the founders of the Black August Organizing Committee, he actually was just revealed that he has cancer. You know, he got cancer in the lungs. So there's a GoFundMe out there for him. I actually spoke to him today. He's actually in really good spirits, you know what I mean? He's still in the support of the people, and so I just wanted to, you know, send that clenched fist salute to Baba Shaka, the Black August Organizing Committee. And then the last point was there's a new documentary that's coming out on HBO Max, I believe tonight, called Eliminate All Brutes. Eliminate All Brutes. And it's a documentary series looking at colonialism and the reality of the many genocides that took place from Africa to all the continents during the 500 years of European colonialism. And this is, that's why I appreciate the conversation and the fact of the Black Panther Party and the Black Panther Party Cubs are servants of history, servants of the people and servants of history. And so putting things in its proper context. So we'll be doing a viewing of this new piece, Eliminate All Brutes. And yes, sir, Fremont.
Fremont, Eliminate All Groups is coming on tonight. What network?
Yes, tonight on HBO Max.
Okay.
Eliminate All Brutes. It's based on a book. There was a book by the same name, and then now it's a 4-part documentary series, and it's not being promoted at all. It's really, you know what I mean? It's one of the things where it's kind of sliding under.
My first hearing of it.
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that the listening audience.
We missed that tonight. Well. Yeah, let's keep out, yeah, for that. Definitely, this interesting. Check it out. I want to get. OG Shaka online next week. Also, yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? Get him online. So you know what I'm saying? We've got support. And then something in 2 years with Nipsey. Yeah, no doubt about it. In 2 years now. Real talk. Long live Nipsey Hussle, man. Real talk. That's interesting, just even the dynamic about for real country, DMX, man. Yeah, this man, he's a soldier. And then in the call it, and that, But man, yeah, DMX is a hell, man, he's a soldier, man. Real talk. We live and direct, y'all. It's been making this, taking this and taking this for y'all. I know I'm going to miss that piece tonight, but I definitely got to check that piece out. Again, y'all throw this back in there. Make sure y'all do touchdown. Renita Dunnigan. Let's see if we get some support, some financial support to Jerry Odinga Dunnigan. You know what I'm saying? This inbox serve. Make sure you get the right one. It's a TikTok video that's moving around. She has some dreads. She got the actual video footage of her father, Jerry Odinga Dunnigan, coming out of Danville in the prison. Yes, indeed.
Even when his sister saw him, can you hear me?
Say it again.
I said when he went to see his sister, his last surviving sibling, and the joy that was in her voice and in her face and just her whole expression when she saw him, and then the hugging him, and then looking back, stepping back to look at him, and hugging him again, and then touching him like, is this really real? It was just, that was an emotional moment, and it was also a beautiful moment as well.
Yes, indeed. Man, put in context, that's like, well, man, a lifetime for a lot of us that he's been gone, literally.
Yeah.
Close to a lifetime. He's been gone. And again, that image of him at that, you know, on post, man, downtown, Odinga Dunnigan, man, soldier. I remember being transferred to different places and just, you know, hearing about him, kept me, you know, being placed in isolation from having Chicago, sometimes articles about Chairman Fred, and just, you know, hearing about Odinga, you know what I'm saying, being subjected, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, repercussions for having a picture of Chairman Fred on the wall. You need this type of inspiration because a lot of times they isolate you to feel, you know, just feel like, man, I'm subjective, I'm doing it. But the love, you know, that structure, you know what I'm saying, that so even when they come with their attacks, it's a different feeling for to be, you know, politicized and be on the right side of history, you know. And, brother is definitely, you know what I'm saying, I just, you know, I can't wait to touch down with him. I really can't, you know. And these are some of the, not the role models, but the real models that people should know about. And it also reflects the underbelly, you know what I'm saying, the issues, you know what I'm saying, the impact that O'Neal, William O'Neal, others had, you know what I'm saying, you know, their lives, the impact. I'm not talking about agent provocateurs or activities, action that people took in the liberal sort of way, like, okay, yeah, so what was the big deal about snitching or former agent? This is the impact. You know, there's another brother, Griggs, who's out, you know, who was actually tortured by O'Neal, William O'Neal, you know, and this discussion that so much has to be addressed, so much has to come out, you know. man, you know, man, just talked to some, you know, some people today. He's talking about, you know, even the case of Baba Tunde, you know what I'm saying, who was murdered on the railroad tracks, and O'Neill's part, you know, his role in that. And that's a, and it's important that the, you know, people say, you know, I said earlier, a lot of my problems I got to hold in, because a lot of people don't understand my problems, because the deal is, so you say you got 99 problems, I say 99 problems, the pigs involved in all of them. And this, I mean, every, when the GDs formerly known as Gangster Disciples, and we go from the veteran, during the federal trial, hearings of the GDs, every area they talked about the crime epidemic was going on with GDs, it quote unquote happened to be under the leadership of informants, of agent provocateurs. And it, I mean, it's that, you know what I'm saying, it, even activities of the crime, even stuff that, you know what I'm saying, they on in the early 1973 with William O'Neill. When he was testifying against Stanley Robinson, the book Badge, Stanley Robinson was a notorious Chicago police, and Stanley Robinson and O'Neill were testifying on each other for the activities that they had engaged in, such as the shaking down of West Side business owners, you know, on extortion tip. And Stanley Robinson's defense was that he was really working undercover on O'Neill, and O'Neill's defense was he really was working undercover with Stanley Robinson. But both of them, it was a state dynamic, you know, a type of way that they moved. You mentioned Stanley Robinson's name to people to this day, you can see grown men shake. The horror stories about, you know, him wearing the wigs and the murders that went down, you know what I'm saying, with him. It's a different man. And you look at the activities O'Neill did and engaged in. It's a state dynamic. State dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
When the U.S. Afghanistan, you know what I'm saying, who they put in place. They, you know what I'm saying, Iraq, which, who they grabbed and put in place. So these discussions, this is part of the ongoing cleansing process. Yes, indeed. Somebody just commented now. That was beautiful when she hugged her brother. Yes, and that be his only surviving sibling.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, I don't know how many other siblings, you know, just even the loss, some of the family members. I'm looking at some of these comments. DMS goes down, and DMS goes down. Yeah, Odega Dunnigan, y'all check that footage out. Renita Dunnigan, look on her page on TikTok, repost that. And get in contact with her, you know what I'm saying? She got a way to find resources, money, can, you know what I'm saying, can be sent. Welcome, you know what I'm saying, this brother back to the community, you know what I'm saying? We look forward to having him on the show, but I know you got to get a breather, if man, you know, if that. Those six write-ups for right now, we're working on getting out, you know, the emails set up. We've been going through, man. Man, we were trying to get this website stuff put together. So, man, I think back in Atlanta years ago, trying to get this website situation facilitated with, you know, blow out the boat. I'm talking about, I mean, man, blow out the blow. But for right now, they can send it to Chairman Fred Jr. at Gmail. And I gotta check those emails. Noting there that you're sending it in regards to the membership, Black Panther Party clubs. And I ain't gonna lie to y'all, you know, I'm just so much battle fatigue, you know. But we gonna continue to serve. But I gotta give me a breather. I got to because I keep saying it, man, because when it's exposed later on down the road, how much coin to your pro we've been impacted by, you know, come at my tombstone or come back wherever they got me cremated, they got me spread and say, yeah, champ, I remember you said this here, you know. Man, blow out the blow. You might have never, y'all, making history, taking history, taping history. Any callers to cue, some comrade?
Free them all, Brother Chairman. We have David from Washington. Free them all.
Can you hear me clearly, Chairman?
Yeah, you're a little bit in and out, but I hear you. You're a little bit in and out.
Yes, I would like to thank you for hosting this radio show, first and foremost, to enlighten viewers on the current ongoings of the world that have not stopped, although many of us have stopped paying attention to.
Can I go in and out?
First off, I would like to ask you, sir.
Yes. Okay, you go. Okay, we working with it. Can you kind of go in and out? Say it again. Is the question?
I said first, it's an honor to talk to you. But I would just like to ask your advice, being under heat, being under a lot of heat, and doing the right thing, making the right decisions, even though the devil's in your way, trying to do what God wants you to do, because I feel like I was on a certain spiritual path before the devil came in my way, and now I feel like I'm back at ground zero on my spiritual path, on all paths, to getting better as a person, to getting better as a human being, just living this world in a very uncertain time, in a very divisive time. And I'm asking you, with your father, how he went through it, how he dealt with it. I'm asking for your advice, Chairman. Thank you.
Well, right off the card, I definitely, like, you know what I'm saying, appreciate the call. I got to say, you know, there are no clip notes in with the Cub class. I wish it was a easy one, too, because, you know, in all honesty, without going into details, I mean, these war wounds, they hit, you know, and a lot of times you can't predict when, you know what I'm saying, when they hit, but also, again, many times, one of the benefits of being a servant of the people is, you know, the loss of loads, you know what I'm saying, the people, man, they are inspiring, they come through, you know what I'm saying. I recall this, I said about, I spoke about this before, I wonder if this, but I don't know if he's tuning in through this. I was held captive, individual named Red. And that was a concern with individuals that use their books. They say, oh, if you get chairman of your book, he might get transferred. You won't see your books no more. So I had a real big thing about people not owing, you know, like owing people anything. I think something stuck in my mind one time. This guy, he was kind of making the, I was a laundromat, I was a child. And I was washing clothes. I come back and he goes, oh, yeah, I heard your father speak. I think I loaned $20. He was lying. Mother Comrade, she was so offended when I tell her. I was just saying, he was saying he knew my father. She wanted to, I had to go back to the lounge back and check him. You know, he said, no, I didn't do that. But so they kind of stuck in my mind about making sure not. So say I just say, I make sure I give people their books back, you know. So anyway, Red was a very intelligent brother. I'm going to say was. I think he's very – I'm pretty much going to say he's pretty intelligent now. But he there was no connection to the people. And that's no slight on him. There's no slight. People, I don't – you know, certain experiences. You know, I just said this yesterday. You have to take into account geographical locations, experiences, lack of experiences, you know. And, you know, so, you know, with political line, how you relate to certain dynamics, you know. And he had – Red had said something to me about the book Machiavelli. He had said, matter of fact, he had sent me the book. We were talking about Machiavelli. And this is around the time, you know what I'm saying, it was kind of real popular, because Tupac, you know, was talking about, you know, the Prince and Machiavelli. And Red had said something to the effect that, he said, Chairman, you always talk about the people. And it was a day, in fact, the day he brought it to me was one of those days I was kind of going through some serious struggles, because they were constantly taking me downstairs to what they call BFI, Bureau of Identification. The guards would come past, and they'd see some hair grow on my face. Take them down. Take another picture. You know what I'm saying? And this is all, you know, back to back. And they would deplete my money off my commissary books. They would charge me for the photograph. You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, like psychological warfare. You know, take a picture, another ID. So when I came back, it was, you know, it was just draining. And you got to be real careful when you take certain information, because they catch you. So the police, that's why, you know, they let you sit there. You haven't eaten for a while before they come talk to people. And, you know, one of the comrades, I would tell him I didn't want his sister-in-law to be around us, you know, when we were going through Lowe's. He said, why? I said, you know, she was always trying to push her church and stuff, you know, when we were going through battle fatigue, and some of our forces, their defense mechanisms, their immune system is not tight, you know. It dawned on him. He said, Chairman, I never thought about that. I said, yeah, she don't mean no harm, but she comes, she pushes a line. I said, most of us can defend it because we have enough political garlic to defend it. But just assess yourself. I said, some of our forces, their skin is not thick enough. You know what I'm saying? The defense mechanisms are not in place. But back to the Machiavellian's analogy. So Red has said, you know, the prince says, he who builds on the people builds on the mire. In other words, the mud. In other words, you can't depend on it. And then I got transferred. About 4 years later, I was coming across Stateville Yard, and I seen Red. I was being taken to isolation or being placed to get out of isolation. And I stopped. I said, Red, I said, what's happening? He said, what's happening, Chairman? I said, long time no see. I said, Red, you forgot to recite the next page. He said, Chairman, you still? I said, I remember that discussion. I said, the next page was, he who builds on the people builds on the mire for the exception of the prince. They said the people will weather the storm for the prince because they take the position that the prince is taking a position not for his or her own personal interest. The people understand that stance is being taken, for them. A lot of times people do certain things. Kind of like, I was talking to our field marshal yesterday. We had some discussion. I said, even an issue like even when they use like these different politicians in respective communities. It was a big situation in Chicago where the FBI had, it was a big sting with the Negro aldermen, where they had dropped this toxic waste in the black community. They paid these aldermen up to bring the toxic waste in the community. I say, had these politicians done something for the community, people may have united with them, as opposed to seeing for their own personal interests, And so that's something that we get to start off with that, to come with that, and also not be limited by conventional definitions of what the people are doing, your success rate. You look for the ruling class's definition or their polls to say, is this successful? You know what I'm saying? And it's demoralizing because you say, I think Thurgood Marshall, who was exposed as being on the payroll, to report back to the government on the NAACP. He had said something to the fact that you cannot find anything tangible that Malcolm X had did. And this is because this is a state's definition. You know what I'm saying? The progress of movements amongst the masses, the ruling class, if they report it, it's reported back later on down the road, when you really can't connect to it. The government will tell you during the existence of the Black Panther Party, there was a record low to what they call black on black crime. The government's not going to tell you about the work that the Black Panther Party Cubs and the Tiny House Warriors and Brown Warriors and the Rainbow Coalition did yesterday at George Floyd Square. Not now. Down the road, it may come out. They can afford the luxury to make that connection right now to the community. They can't tell you about the work that is going on right at the Hampton House. Can't even tell you about the attacks that we've been subjected to. The deal is, so your standards, your definitions cannot be limited by the ruling class. Because it's a morale blow. It's like, damn, what's going on? And you have the growth level. You have to study the people, And even the people themselves could not sum it up. You have to be able to see those victories, Certain terms they use, certain degrees. In music, certain discussions that are being had, I told someone, you have to be able to distinguish the timing. I was talking about the potential committee again yesterday. We told a different story. I said, we're fortunate. There's a lot of contradictions, but look at the families of the victims of police terrorism. Look at the images of Diamond Lavish Reynolds coming out of that jail, folding their box of Newport cigarettes, and just saying that what happened. Was looking at her with that police at the Philando Castillo with a gun in his hand, and she's saying, "No, you murdered him." Contrast that to years prior, where people come out. Says, "Well, I can't speak now. My lawyer had to speak for me." Even now I struggle with that contradiction. But again, the deal is to be able to, self-determination is even our mistakes belong to us. To be able to have that type of conversation, to even acknowledge. The counterinsurgency. They dismiss it. And that's a constant battle, because it's American imperialism in particular, so Machiavellian. I know y'all probably think I'm giving a plug for Machiavelli, but it's so Machiavellian. It's so intertwined that many people cannot distinguish from attack from those who are fighting back. So that's a morale boost, and also the state. In many cases, the state will help keep you on point. They're a reminder. But I dare not romanticize revolution. I dare not. Battle fatigue is a reality. It's a reality. Minister UEP Newton said that the most difficult job in fighting for the people is fighting in the interest of people who themselves don't know their own interests. this legacy of the Black Panther Party. I'd like to fight to defend this legacy of the Black Panther Party from you will not believe from a man to where we to what lengths. Believe me. To what lengths. And believe me, there are times. There are times. There are times. There are times. That the Cub gotta man, the Cub gotta hit the corner and get a breather, man, and be like, damn. There are times.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when that shot of water comes from not necessarily your corner. It may come from most unexpected place.
Mm.
There are times, but again, you cannot be held to conventional definitions. You cannot wait for the judges to tell you the score. You cannot wait. You have to come in and recognize that the referee may be working for the ruling class. You must recognize, you must listen to the terms that they use. You must say you recognize the political significance of a term such as Caesar's Palace, so you know where you at. You must, don't take, as Chairman Mao Zedong said, don't take everything for, don't take a bourgeoisie characteristic to say everything happened wrong is because of you, everything happened good because of you. The damage that you have to deal with, that you're fighting, not on, you fighting on different terrains, you know what I'm saying, like the Manchurian candidate, this system can tap into and trigger certain emotions of certain individuals and work it for their interests. It's a battle. It's a battle, believe me. And there are times, I will bear my soul, which there are times which I ask myself, am I fighting more to make sure we change the system or make sure the system don't change me?
Mm, thank you, Chairman. Mm. You taught me so much.
Right on. Thank you. It's an honor. We live in direct and free of my radio, making history and taking history, y'all. That's what it is. We down to countdown. Y'all make sure y'all get ready for the move in June. What's the move in June? We're talking about Father's Day. We're talking about the Cub and Community Caravan. Headed down to check on the tombstone of Chairman Fred Hampton. Get ready for August 30th, the Chairman Fred's Peace Party. Also, speaking of food, we can, I dare not negate the mention. Please, if y'all are anywhere close to the Hampton House, come and grab some of this food we got in front of the Hampton House. We need assistance to come get some of this food ASAP. Get the word out. Don't grab it. You know what I'm saying? Drop, man, I'm like today. You know what I'm saying? Again, get some of this. Right, we got it right there in front of the Hampton House. You know what I'm saying? If you think you're going to, you think you're doing some slick back grabbing and cuffing and running up with it, in the words of Asada Shakur, when she told her little brother at the breakfast program, when he stuffed the pancakes in his pocket, you can't steal from your program. It's the people's program. So come on through, y'all. Grab some. From the boxes of food that we have at 804 South 17th Avenue, Maywood, Illinois. Come through, take some pictures, put it on Instagram, post it. We got it there. Tell the local stool pigeons and inform us that it's a secret we do not want nobody to know about, that it's food in front of the Hampton House, and we'd rather not nobody get it. Let the stool pigeons know that there's food in front of the Hampton House, and we want to keep it to ourselves. You know what I'm saying? That's some of the, put them flyers to work. Yes, indeed. So, Bobby, in the building, I missed your call earlier. I mean, I'm going to get back to you. We've been going through it, man. So, Bobby, hey, one of the hardest cats. Hey, so, Bobby, hey, man, you seen Shorty Bobby with touchdown with us at the Hampton House. I'll get a rep in sweater, too, next time. I told Bobby, make sure you send me the right size, man. You know what I'm saying? Because Shorty Bobby will be doing his little workout every morning, you know what I'm saying? So, he think everybody else is in shape, but I'm going to catch up with him, though, man. But, so, Bobby, man, shout out to Conscious Minds. I don't know if I'm sending the right 360, you know what I'm saying? And shout out, keep doing what you do. I ain't heard the piece that y'all did. Y'all went up in that studio. You, Ron, C-Line, DJ Farrell, and others, man. But I got to get up in that studio and release, too, in a minute, man. I got to do what it do, man. Yeah, no doubt about it. Y'all make sure y'all get them, give us a heads up to them letters are coming. Matter of fact, we're going to start working on the Zoom, too, for political education class. Get our membership tight. For those who not official membership, that don't stop y'all from getting y'all black and light blue together and get ready for that caravan down. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about getting a big bus and riding down to the tombstone. You know what I'm saying? And pay our respects. Pay our respects. And August 30th, ooh, man, listen. We gonna show up and show out. We talking about we gonna be up at Chairman Fred's birthday. I forgot how old he would be. My man's 21. Yes, indeed.
The narrative.
Yes.
And just a update on the uprising at that St. Louis jail. You know, this is like
oh,
the
yes,
third
yes,
time.
Yes.
Yeah, that they that they have been fighting back and protesting. Still the same conditions, still no court dates, still, you know, they still under these stressful and can't even think of the word, just some terrible conditions that they're in right now.
Yeah, St. Louis, no doubt about it. Yeah, kids of the school, man, if you get any contact, make sure they call in this week. Make sure we get the they got me on Facebook, but if y'all get the administrator's numbers, contacts, we need to call, let them, people, let them know that we got eyes on what's happening down in St. Louis, no doubt about it. It's been back-to-back, you know, and they literally are saying on the walls, on the windows, help us. They're literally saying free them all.
Mm-hmm.
They are literally saying that, you know what I'm saying? This is, hey, if y'all know, you hear around here, we hear about death out here every day. Imagine what's going on inside these concentration camps. Yes, that's right, these concentration camps. St. Louis been back-to-back, you know what I'm saying? You have to ask what the video of George Floyd, when he comes, I can't go up in there. I forgot that this was during coronavirus when he was murdered. He was, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on up in these places that, you know what I'm saying? They telling us of the resistance happening. When the arbitrator for the United Nations was open to have arbitrary inspections through prisons throughout the world, Iraq even said, let's do it. The United States said, no go. What's happening that they don't want to be shown? These y'all, you know, say, keep them in your minds, your hearts. These y'all keep DMX in your minds and hearts, y'all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hashtag that, tweet that. Free, welcome home, Jerry Odinga Dunnigan. Contact Renita Dunnigan. Me to say, how can we send resources, the cash out, whatever she has, to get to her father, to our brother, to our soldier, Odinga. Also, those who was, I just want to say they want to donate some arts to Hampton House. Y'all come on with it. Send it to 804 South 17th Avenue, Maywood, Illinois. Support the campaign, Save the Hampton House. Cash app, $ Save the Hampton House. The GoFundMe, we still got that going on. GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse51. We've got to tweak our website. You know what I'm saying? We up and Andy with that. It's an honor to serve. Keep your heads up, eyes on the fist, because we'll be out on deck. I hope, as a matter of fact, bring us some DMX. Let us get some DMX. DMX, man, hey.
Yeah.
Man, we love you, man. That picture DMX on there, I seen DMX in one time. He said, Chairman, what happened to my shirt you supposed to give me? I said, brother, I'll be honored. You to shut up my back. And I gave him the Chairman Fred shirt, man. Man, X, what you got for us, man? That's our man.
That's right.
DMX. That's our man.
I'm gonna get first. My journey's been a rough one. I'm not sure when it begins, but the way it's looking, I kinda know when it's gonna end. What's in love? Hold me down, baby. It's gonna be a rough ride. Niggas give us plenty of room, cause I guess enough dies. Let me travel. My intentions are to travel in peace. But fuck around, I'll lay you down. You hit the graveling seat. I can be a beast, or I can be a gentleman. If you ain't my dog, you gon' be like, oh, it's him again. Niggas will never win. This whole rap game is mine. How did you ever been? I was that in 89. Seeking you shall find. Look within it, you will know where you coming from and where you gotta go. My next move, trying to figure out why is it that X do what X do. Some questions don't answer.
Why? what I'm afraid of. Sometimes I can't show, but I know when I made up. They made love, or should I say they made lust. Found it didn't have to be love there, they made us. I got quite a few sisters, I was the only boy, but being with my dog was my only choice. Like a kid with a new toy, I forgot about the crime. Escaped the misery, didn't think about the crime. Love all track of time, was in another world. Everybody knew Earl, but there was another Earl. Light aside in the dark, fight in the park, but wouldn't wanna. Stayed in form, when they jumped me, became a good runner. One by one, they all went under, so I had the last laugh. They all thought it was a joke, but I had the last laugh. Coming back to haunt me. Stay loving my people, even though they don't want me. When I was bad, I was forgotten, like I was dead and rotten. Should've been getting love, but instead it was plotting. Shit was the right, and it was all blamed on me. Didn't know that I was special till this rap shit came to be. Gave me a way out, showed me it was better to teach. Then bust niggas with the 4-4, leave them dead in the street. Over beef, it was worth less than the cost of the slugs that I bought to kill them. And that's because I thought I ought to kill them. Little did I know, death wasn't right. Didn't always show, every breath was a light. It was to be captured in suspended animation. To be felt by all, understood by every nation. What's the sense of hating when I can show love? What's the sense of faking when I can show blood?
Where we grew, trials we got through.